Isn't that a beautiful piece? That guitar just licks its way into your heart with the melody and the beat. And of course, it's Senior Matters. That's our intro song. And I am Diane Johnson, your host. We're going to have a wonderful afternoon. We're going to watch the snow come in. Water, water, water. Mud, mud, mud from the dogs tracking into the house. Love it. Love it. Welcome, everyone, in the Roaring Fork Valley. I was already talking to you. I talk to myself quite a bit.
As long as you don't listen to yourself.
Oi, Luke. That's my baby over there.
I had to say that, sorry.
I was going to wear my Rainbow Child outfit just for you today, Luke. Tomorrow. All right, everybody out there, let's just talk a little bit about Senior Matters. And you know Senior Matters is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to foster diverse educational and social programs for seniors of all ages. Senior Matters collaborates with agencies, organizations, and services to bring a wide variety of happenings of interest to our community. You don't have to be a senior to be interested in it. Our sponsored programs and activities include Tai Chi, Art Bridge. We also have an Alzheimer's support care group, Medicare programs, and of course our tax assistance program. Taxes! It's getting about that time. And all of this is held at our center, located at 3rd Street Center and Room 33. And just while you're listening, get that pen, get a piece of paper, and contact information is 970-230-2158. That's about Senior Matters. Today, we're going to be talking about neuroplasticity. And it's the most exciting breakthrough in neuroscience today. It's a science ordinary people can practice for better health. This discovery that the brain can actually change its structure and function in response to our mental experience offers endless possibilities for very real life change, physically and mentally. Neuroplasticity is about harnessing the science of changing your brain for better health. Guess what? We're going to be talking about that because today my guests are members and professional practitioners of NFI, Neuroplastic Functional Institute. The Neuroplastic Functional Institute is a small, multidisciplinary collective of healthcare professionals that are working to bring cutting-edge, brain-changing techniques that will train us, we people, to independently heal. Welcome to the executive officer, Lauren Maloney Gebfert.
Thanks,
welcome,
Diane.
Lauren.
Happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here too. And guess who else? Dave Wiedemann. He's our neuroplasticity, I can't say that too easily all the time, aquatic specialist. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to be talking about something that's new to me. And between Lauren and Dave, they're going to help clarify what neuroplastic function is all about. Lauren.
Well, the Neuroplastic Functional Institute has a vision to bring open access to healing. Excuse me. And so what we do to do that is we are using and practicing a technique called neuroplastic functional training. And neuroplastic functional training is a combination of three things. Neuroplasticity, which is the ability of the brain to change itself based on our mental intention. Kinesiology, which is the study of human movement, and life education, which is education that helps us remove any obstacles to healing. Now, we do this for the purpose of teaching people how to learn, how to self-regulate, and how to change. So, Dave, did you want to add to that?
From my background, I'm trained as a physical therapist and have spent 24 years working as a physical therapist. And about a year ago, I had the opportunity to meet Lauren, along with my wife, Debbie, who's also a physical therapist. And we've trained with her on and off since then, and specifically in a month-long training last June called the Connect Program, where we were both, Debbie and I and some other healthcare providers and other individuals, were part of a team that learned an almost infinite amount of techniques and knowledge from Lauren about the three categories she mentioned. And at the same time, we worked directly with four gentlemen who are in the process of recovering from spinal cord injury. And as you and I have discussed, Diane, with my work as a physical therapist at Heritage Park Care Center here in Carbondale, working both with residents and outpatients, the neuroplastic techniques, the kinesiology, and the life education principles I learned from Lauren, I have integrated into my work with the patients there. And as Lauren indicated, we are working with other individuals from the community. And Lauren can talk a little bit about that, how we're spreading these techniques, and Lauren specifically is treating people through NFI.
So what we're doing is we're taking a technique that can be used independently, so you can just do neuroplastic functional training. For example, we're teaching at the Launchpad, and we teach educational classes that people can come in, they're movement-based, and you can learn how to do this technique there. We do have a senior class that's coming up starting in April called Brains, Bones, and Balance, and it targets those three issues for seniors. But it is the neuroplastic functional training done in a movement class. You can also take the technique independently, or you can take the technique and add it to something like physical therapy, which is what Dave is talking about. It can be added to many different modalities. What it basically does is it teaches us how the brain works, how to create or design a mental intention so that we can teach ourselves more about how to learn. We can teach ourselves how to change ourselves through self-regulation. And that involves different neuroplastic techniques, putting those together, practicing them with repetition, practicing them with focus, practicing them with specificity, practicing them with saliency or think something that's important. So it can touch anything because it's the brain, but it depends on how you want to utilize it.
I hear you. And Dave, I'm rolling this over to you. As most of you know, I work at Heritage Park and I work in the activities department. But also, as most of you know, I fell, broke my back, and was down for 6 weeks, two surgeries, and I had to learn to walk again. Mm. And one of the areas now, I mentioned to Dave about me standing tall, you know, because I have a tendency to want to roll forward because my back is weak. And I asked Dave about a back support. Guess where he went? He rolled it over onto me to make me accountable for walking correctly with purpose. So I am now trying to train my brain to stand tall, pull my tummy muscles in with purpose to make me stronger. Thank you for that, Dave. Is that where you wanted me to go with that? Is that what you were intending for me to do?
That was part of it. As if you'll recall our conversation, I reminded you that we all have a built-in back brace in our abdominal muscles. Mm-hmm. And if we train our brain, which controls the body, to control our body in specific ways, you don't need an external back brace specifically for you. You can train your brain to control your body, to achieve the desired posture and help you in the way you specifically wanted to improve your posture, your walking, yeah, and that sort of thing.
So that's what we would call mapping.
Okay.
So everything in your brain is a map. Anything that you've learned anytime for the accumulation of your entire life, it's all a map. So you have paradigms that are a map. You have postures that are a map. You can have a limp that's a map. And what Dave and I are doing is we're teaching people how to change those maps so that they are useful. To take a map that is not useful or might be harmful to somebody and put a solution-based map in place, which was what you're talking about. So Dave gave you a solution-based map to print so that you can do that independently. Mm-hmm. And that's a very useful map. But you have to practice it because the map that you have neuroplastically is going to compete with the new map.
Yes,
so
it does.
You have something called interference neuroplastically. So neuroplasticity isn't some wonderful revelation that now we know about neuroplasticity and we're all going to be able to use it. You really have to employ the principles of neuroplasticity to not have these two things competing against each other.
This neuroplasticity, new word. What are we talking about? Where did it come from? Why today is there such an emphasis on how we can work with our bodies? Where did this come from?
Well, originally, medicine saw the brain as hardwired or fixed. They saw it like a machine. And they believed in something called localization, which meant that your speech was only in one part of your brain. Your hearing was in another part of your brain. And that attitude that the brain was fixed decreased our ability to be creative and to understand the whole working of the brain. And that was a very long time coming, that neurology was based on localization and on a fixed, hardwired brain. About 1940, 1960, we started seeing people doing research. And the research that came out was because of the interference that people had, because of their paradigm, really had a hard time coming to the forefront. But lots of research was done, and they found that the brain, in fact, was not hardwired, that it was plastic, it was mobile, it was able to change with just the thought process that we put into the brain.
And I was just going to add the common paradigm of understanding for many years, you could even say centuries, was that in your mid to late teen years, teenage years, I should say, the brain got locked in, it was fixed, and you could not change it.
You
and
couldn't teach an old dog
new tricks.
Exactly. There you go.
And a significant step forward in why we're hearing more about neuroplasticity today, per your question, is the amazing advancement in imaging technology of being able to actually have things like functional MRIs, which I describe to people as essentially a video showing brain activity.
Yeah.
And so even in the last 15 to 20 years, I'd say the field of neuroscience research has exploded because of these new imaging tools that allow research projects to be done by neuroscientists to show what many people have speculated or thought actually was possible in the human brain for many years, but it was all anecdotal. It was small reports, it was small numbers of patients and that type of thing. And now with the objective
measure
of functional MRIs and other types of scans, it is clearly shown by multiple research papers published in the last 15 or 20 years in peer-reviewed scientific journals that we can absolutely change our brain, and the change can be long-term. It's not just temporary.
And it's not age-dependent.
Okay, that was a place I was going. Seniors.
Right. My favorite population.
Yeah, since I'm one of them. And there are many of us around here. I mean, we're walking around and we've been carrying chronic health conditions most of our life and our osteoporosis. But what if we're just, everything is okay with this senior who is 85? How Yeah. Well, you were getting there.
Neuroplasticity, in my opinion, should be something that we're all invested in. We should, you know, there are different principles that you can find in some of the meta studies, such as if you don't use it, you'll lose it. If you use it, you'll improve it. Repetition, specificity, saliency, time matters, age matters. So the research is showing that younger people have more plasticity in their brain. However, what I have found in my research, because most of what I developed was developed on seniors, I was working with populations that were 85 and up. And I was testing these things in movement classes and finding success and then realizing, wow, if it was changing brains, memory was being recovered, cognitive function was being recovered, reflexes were being recovered, it must be universal. So what I have found in my research is that the seniors have a different kind of plasticity because they're able to identify what's important. They're able to focus, they know what they want, and they have a mature brain as far as their executive function is concerned. They can really design that intention, whereas a 20-year-old hasn't developed their full executive function until they're about 25. So they don't even have the capacity yet to have all of their executive function, let's say, matured, whereas somebody who's a senior can really pinpoint what it is they need to do. So I think what we're going to see in a very short time is we're going to see that senior brains that practice neuroplasticity can become just as plastic as somebody who has youth.
Keyword, practice.
Mm-hmm.
Practice, practice. Dave.
And just going back to your question about your example of an 85-year-old for whom everything is going fine, I tell people who ask me about neuroplasticity, people of any age, I say, if your life is perfect and you're thriving and every relationship with family, friends, coworkers, yourself is wonderful, and there's not a single thing you want to change in your life, then you probably don't need neuroplasticity. I have, however, never met a human being like that. So it applies to all humans of whatever age. If you have something you want to change in your life from a not useful paradigm or experience to a useful experience.
Exactly.
And as Lauren mentioned, your goal, it's a lot of it has to do with goals. Your goal when you spoke to me was, hey, how do I improve my posture and it'll help my back hurt less and help me function better? To actually do the practice, to do the repetition using multiple different neuroplasticity techniques, we as human beings have to have a very important goal that we can look at and say, this is why I'm choosing to practice these techniques. Here's how I want my life to be different in the future. And I am moving towards that goal, as Lauren said earlier, solution-based. I'm not looking back at the problem of, oh, that old map is not working for me, it's not useful. I am looking at the new map that is getting me to the goal that I have set for myself. And that can be in your career, in your health, in your relationship with your spouse or family. It can be learning a new athletic or sport activity. It can be learning a language, learning a musical instrument. This applies to anything that the human brain controls, which is everything.
And it empowers us, too. And I think that's the most important thing that we can give as a gift to ourselves. Make me stronger. Make me healthier, make me happier, make me feel better.
And that you have control over that. I think that's the thing, you know, with what you said about practice, to just visit that one more time, that you have control. So they did a study in 2010, the National Institute for Health, and they asked people, a cross-reference of ages and many, many thousands of people. They gave them a questionnaire to find out what was the single thing that kept them from taking their provider's advice for health.
And?
The biggest answer was a lack of willpower. that was what was predominant. So what neuroplastic functional training teaches you is it teaches you to self-regulate. It teaches you how to have willpower.
Teach, you said right now over at the launch pad, you have an activity going on with participants.
Right.
Free? At this time for free?
Oh, yeah. So we have three classes. We teach actually six classes there. And then we'll be adding two classes because our heart is to expand. And the class that we're adding in April will be for seniors.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
It will start in the first week in April.
Couple of things is most important. I do want to let our audience know, oh my goodness, it's snowing. I'm sorry, we've got windows and it's snowing and I'm a kid still. What can I tell you? My birthday's next month.
Happy birthday.
79 is time. All right. Lauren is the executive officer of NFI and Dave is an aquatic specialist. And these two people have come to help us understand a little bit more about neuroplasticity because they work with it. They are part of a collaborative of professionals in the health field. And how many are on your team at this time? Website. I went on the website.
Yeah,
tell
it's
everyone
really
the
exciting.
Website. Tell everyone.
Oh my gosh, the team is incredible. So we have people who are actually active and people who are inactive. You know, there are people who are learning this as they go, and some people have other jobs, so they're coming and they're learning as they can. But we have a team of 15 different people. And those people are all really, really committed to healing. And so that's what we look for. We look for passion. And people who have the same focus to be able to bring open access to healing.
Okay. Massage therapist. I know Meredith.
Yeah.
Lovely lady.
Deb's wife. Yeah. Dave's wife, Deb Weideman. We have
Diane Madigan.
Registered wonderful registered nurse.
Yeah.
We have an Ayurveda practitioner. We have yoga instructors. And what they're doing is they're integrating this work into what it is they do.
I love it. You know what? Well, believe it or not, it's almost time to go. But most important, Lauren, how can the public contact you and also your website address, please?
Okay, well, I want to give two different things. One is nfiheals.com. That's nfiheals.com. And you can go there and you can fill out a request form and we'll get in touch with you. And then you can also get to Dave through Weideman Physical Therapy.
Okay.
Or Heritage Park Care Center, which is, as I mentioned earlier, where I work. Just call their main number, which is 970-963-1500, and ask for the rehab department.
There you go.
And there we are.
Thank you so much for having
us. Thank you very much.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you for this.
Okay.